Started. Okay.
Okay. Be very professional.
Oh, that's a new thing with Zoom, huh?
Yeah. I'm glad they reminded us.
Okay, so I'm Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the May 25th, 2021 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council Executive Board. It is 9:30 a.m. on May 25th. This meeting is being recorded. And John Pointer will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. John.
Thank you.
John, we can't hear you.
I think he's muted.
John, you are muted.
Can you hear me now?
Now we can.
There we go. No, sorry. Technology. If you would all stand, please. So veterans, please salute. Rest, please put your hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance,
To the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic,
for which it stands,
one nation,
under
God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, John, to get back on my chair on wheels and I keep rolling away. So, okay, Elizabeth, could you please take roll?
Yes, Elizabeth Busick, present. Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Phil Mandeville.
Present.
John Pointer.
Present.
Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Cynthia Thacker.
Present.
Madam Chairman, everybody is present.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. And we have visiting us today, Evelyn Velez and Sandy Stang, and Office on Aging staff with us today is Erica Danzak and Jenna Sergio. Okay, so now it is time for public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board regarding any item within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak?
We did not receive any via email, and we do not have any members of the public attending this meeting right now.
Okay, thank you, Jenna. So public communications is now closed. And item number 5 on the agenda, the Office on Aging updates. Erica.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. You can hear me okay? All right. So for the Office on Aging updates, right now our big focus is on reopening plans. We did receive guidance from the California Department of Aging two Fridays ago now regarding how to safely reopen all of our aging services for those that were providing face-to-face programs prior to the pandemic. To no surprise, most of the onus that the state put on reopening lies within the local area agencies on aging. So our office will take the lead in directing all of our contractors and direct service providers on what they need to do to safely reopen. The biggest focus is really the elderly nutrition program and getting the lunch program back up and running at all the senior centers and community centers throughout the county. And as you know, it's going to take a little bit to unwind everything that we put in place for the time of COVID. We suspended the congregate lunch program and went strictly to a grab and go. The grab and go program has been, I would say about 40% has been the trend over the last year of an increase in demand. So that means that our serving levels are 40% higher, both in clients and the number of meals than they were before March of 2020 last year. The congregate lunch program is a Monday through Friday single meal lunch, but the grab and go has been enough meals for 7 days worth of food, and it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner if the clients need that. And that was really to help them to stay safely at home during the pandemic, not have to make as many trips to the grocery store to go out and secure healthy food options. So that will continue to be in place until the congregate lunch program is fully up and running. But we anticipate that there will be some transition period, meaning that sites will have their congregate lunch available, but also have the grab and go for people that want to come to the center, enjoy lunch in a social setting, but may need some extra meals to take home with them when they leave. There's also going to be a certain number of seniors that don't feel comfortable coming into the center to sit down for lunch in a congregate setting, but still depend on the food. So we will have some iteration of grab and go available for quite some time. We do have the funding. CDA has provided CARES funding through September 30th of this year, and then we anticipate with the American Rescue Package, there was a lot of dollars dedicated to senior nutrition and food insecurity. So that will, those high volumes are 40% increase in serving levels. We definitely have the funding to support it through next year. Now with all that said, much of the guidance from CDA really looked at counties operating within their assigned tiers. So right now, Orange County is in the yellow tier, which is the least restrictive. So we would follow the, if we were to open tomorrow, we would follow whatever the guidance says for indoor dining, group gathering, so forth, within the yellow tier. But as we all know, June 15th, we're supposed to see all the restrictions with social distancing and what have you lifted per the governor. So we've heard from our public health officer that, you know, Orange County can be more strict than the state, but we can't be any less strict than the state. So if everything is lifted June 15th, and that's sort of a game changer for what we direct the senior centers to do in terms of reopening their congregate sites. So we're sort of, you know, June 15th is right around the corner. We don't want to issue any instructions now and then have to pull back and change everything come June 15th. So we're in a little bit of a holding pattern where we really want to see what this lifting all restrictions looks like at the state level, and then how comfortable our public health officer is in saying what that means for Orange County. So more to come on that, but we do expect, like I said, some hybrid programming going on for quite a while. The trick with the grab and goes is it takes up all the parking spots at the senior centers. So even if senior centers wanted to reopen on some small scale, you know, offer a chair exercise class or something midday, they wouldn't be able to have the seniors come and avoid, you know, the crowd from the grab and go. So at some point we're going to need to scale that back, maybe even to just a couple of days a week or once a week. Or some of the sites are even talking with like a church next door or an alternate distribution location so that they can move that away from the senior center and the center can have their parking available and their center open for other activities.
Erica, I have a question. When you say you're in a holding pattern and a lot depends what happens between now and June 15th, are you developing or your office developing alternate plans like A, B, or C? So when it's time, you're just ready to flip the switch so we don't have a delay between when something becomes effective and when it can be put into action?
Yes, because there are certain things that all sites are going to have to display in terms of readiness, regardless of whether or not there's any restrictions. So all the sites are going to need to show that they have policies in place if there's a COVID outbreak, if someone in the center, either a volunteer, staff member, or client test positive. They need to have protocols in place for how they notify and contact tracing and shutting down the center for 2 weeks. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's not if, it's when. So they do have to have all those policies in place. They also have to have policies to show that they are incorporating COVID safety practices into their staff and volunteer trainings. And many of the programs already have that in place because they've been living with it for the last year. So they know what to do if somebody tests positive. They know what to do in terms of training their staff. We just need to see that they're going to continue on an ongoing basis. We also need to make sure that they have enough PPE on hand, masks available if people want it, safe food handling practices, things like that. So regardless of any restrictions, we know that we need to be able to push that out before anybody reopens.
And is that being pushed out now? Because June 15th is what, 3 weeks away?
It's not publicly, but we do have a reopening work group that our program manager over the elderly nutrition program is leading. She has representatives from all of our providers, as well as senior centers on that work group. And so we do have a draft plan that is almost ready for review. And then we'll be pushing that out in the next week or so.
Okay, yeah, because it seems that the county as a whole, not necessarily the Office on Aging, but has been slow on a number of things when we are responding to COVID. And we just want to make sure that the Office on Aging is ready to go in the senior programs as soon as, you know, we can get them back up and running, or the centers open, or the congregate meals, that we are ready, not that, well, now we need to develop a plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we will definitely be ahead in terms of putting out instructions, but that's not to say that there's going to be anybody that's ready on June 16th. They still have to make sure that they've got the volunteers back, staff back, all that capacity that they've lost over the last year. So once we give them the green light that they can start working toward that, I think some will be ready than others. We'll go out and do a walkthrough and a readiness assessment and give them the thumbs up that they're ready to go. But we expect that that will be very incremental, because not all sites are going to be fully ready, you know, on the same day.
Okay. All right, thank you. Cynthia.
I think you're on mute, Cynthia.
And then am I on mute now? Okay, I'm sorry. Is there any way that we can help you in the sense of preparing them to get ready? Because Elaine's right, always we hate to see the delay when we know it's coming. Is there any way that we can help in visiting the web senior centers or whatever? Is there any way we can help?
I appreciate the question, Cynthia. And I will keep you posted if we run into any roadblocks in particular with responsiveness with certain centers. We will loop SCAC in to see if we can open those lines of communication. Right now, the focus is on the nutrition program, but we completely understand that senior centers consider reopening more than just their nutrition program. And so, we want to make sure that we're working through our contracted providers for all of that communication, and making sure that that is done in lockstep with our contractors. But as far as reopening of other activities, classes, things that the Office on Aging does not have direct control over, you know, you can definitely be having those conversations and bring that feedback back to SCAC. I think it would be helpful for others to hear what's going on in each other's cities and centers. But I will say that that survey was a real good first step in really understanding what's going on and where the senior centers are at in terms of their comfort level and what their plans are. So as we work through that and develop reopening resource toolkit and some checklists and some assessment tools. We will be sharing all of that with SCAC and making sure that the senior centers know that that's available and how to access it.
Great, thank you.
So before I wrap up my update, I just wanted to touch on the May revise that of the governor's budget that was released last week. And after looking at the analysis of how the budget impacts aging programs, we saw historic investments in senior services in the governor's budget. So just through CDA alone, we're expecting $106 million increase in funding, of which $100 million is going to be allocated to local area agencies on aging for senior programming. $6 million will be held back at the state level for either pooled projects or changes at the state office related to the master plan for aging. And we believe that the reason why the historic funding is, number one, the master plan for aging has very ambitious goals. And so it needs to have funding to support it. And number two, just the attention and focus that has been on seniors and the aging population because of the pandemic has really required some funding that hasn't been there before, right? Because we see that the impact of COVID on this particular population has been so significant and will continue to have a long tail. So lots of funding going into nutrition programs, legal services for seniors that are facing either homelessness, eviction notices, trouble with their mortgage payments, forbearances, rental assistance, all that kind of stuff. About $17 million of that is going into projects around the digital divide. We have about $17 million going into senior employment programs. The ADRC, the Aging and Disability Resource Center, originally in the January budget, that grant was scheduled to be suspended next year. And in the governor's May revise, the ADRC funding suspension was lifted. So there'll be about $10 million a year going into aging and disability resource centers. And there's no suspension on that. We have about $2 million going into behavioral health services and about $3 million going into family caregiver support programs and $1 million in elder abuse prevention. We don't know exactly of that $100 million how it will be allocated locally, so we don't know what Orange County's piece of that pie is going to be just yet, and we won't know until the final budget is approved. But whatever it is, we have about 10% that is allowable for Office on Aging Administration. So I have been communicating with our executive management at the county, as well as our CEO budget office, about the need for additional support at the Office on Aging. If there's historic investments going on at the state level, the assumption is that we're going to need to expand and we're going to have to build capacity in order to administer all these new programs and be good stewards of this additional funding, because with additional funding comes additional oversight and additional compliance. And we want to make sure that Orange County is doing things the right way. And so I definitely need the staff support to be able to manage all of that. So I've put my wish list in. You shoot for the moon and hope you land on a star. So right, if I get even just a fraction of what I've asked for, we're already in better shape than we are today. I think that's it.
Hey, thank you, Erica. One question I had, I know, and you've talked about this before, where there's been a 40% increase in the delivery of meal programs. Do you expect that, and I know you've said you expect it to be at a higher level than it was pre-COVID, but do you expect that 40% will then, after COVID, qualify for the programs, or is it a smaller percentage, or what is your feeling on that?
It's hard to tell. I think a lot of seniors that needed us and that were eligible have just found us because of COVID, and they're not going to just revert back to, you know, their own means of securing food and socialization and what have you. So all of the seniors that have been participating in the grab and go will be assessed for either home delivered meals. If not home delivered meals, we have some other programs like the Nutrition Gap programs and so forth. For those that want to come to the senior center, and as long as they're 60 and over, there's no other eligibility requirements. So they will be welcomed to come and have lunch at the center and encouraged. But for those that don't feel comfortable, they still, but still need that food support, they'll be assessed for the eligibility of home delivered meals or other programs.
Okay.
Hard to tell.
All right, thank you. Eric, Evelyn.
Yes, I have a question about your comment on staffing. So with all of the money that is coming from the surplus and whatnot, have they said something along the lines of, you know, only 20% can be used for staffing, or is that pretty open? Do you have some kind of benchmark there?
Historically, we haven't seen that level of detail. It's usually just across the board, 10% for county administration. And that is not just my staff, but we have centralized support in the county. So our human resources department is centralized. Our accounting department is centralized. Our contracts department is centralized. So they all... you know, bill a certain percentage of their time to the Office on Aging when they support our programs. So it's not just growth in direct Office on Aging staff, but also the central county administration.
So I'm just kind of wondering if that's something that you're going to need support on, your staffing plan.
Well, I already know what level of staff I need in terms of, you know, growth. We need managers that understand aging programs. With the growing aging population, we have a lot of requests for data and statistics and tracking of expenditures. We have large departments in the county that have dedicated research and data teams. We do not have that in our department, but there is a huge need for it. So that's definitely something that I'll be asking for, but it's very specialized. You know, we need people that are research analysts or statisticians, you know, so those will be specialized recruitments.
Okay, thank you, Erica. Thanks for your report. That was a lot of information. And, you know, again, please let us know how SCAC can support in the delivery of services to seniors. Okay, now on to chair report, new business, SCAC membership. So we have had, since our last meeting, we have had two resignations from SCAC. One is Laval Brewer, and that is due to work commitments. He has a meeting that conflicts with the monthly SCAC meeting that he cannot move and he has to attend for his work. And, but he will, I encouraged him to let us know when those meetings end so that he can come back to SCAC, and he would look forward to doing that. He did not want to seek a board exception on that. And then the other resignation that just received within the last week is from Sherry Horn. So, we have those vacancies, and I'm looking at our SCAC membership, and it's you know, something I've brought up to you before, and I you know, ask and expect the entire board to help with the recruitment of new SCAC members. We do have some communities, one community in particular that is underrepresented on SCAC, and that is the senior Asian community. So I know the supervisors who had vacancies, I made them aware of that, but also so you too are aware of that. So you know, if you know someone who is either a volunteer, very interested in senior services, a family caregiver, or someone who works in a professional capacity serving seniors, they would be a you know, good potential member, and I'll be happy to speak with them about what, you know, what SCAC does and what their responsibilities would be. So please put on your thinking cap so we can recruit some quality members to serve seniors. And we will take it from there. I know we're continually adding, it seems like our roster changes every couple months as these appointments come through. So just, you know, be looking for some good quality members for SCAC, because we want to be sure we're representing all the communities. Also geographically, like North Central County, also we have, we could use some members from maybe the Cypress, Stanton, Garden Grove area. So, you know, look at the map of the county if you know anyone in those areas, but also our underrepresented communities. One question people have when they're recruiting SCAC members is the age requirement. But it is that the majority of SCAC needs to be senior. So if there's someone who's not a senior, that's okay, because most of our members are seniors. So I think, yeah, we do have some members who are not seniors, and that's okay, because they're working in that area professionally. So, but again, please be on the lookout and then let me know, and I will be happy to speak with them to see if it's an appropriate fit. And also sometimes people don't realize what the responsibilities are. And as a SCAC member, you do have responsibilities. You need to be attending the meetings. You need to participate in your standing committee, and you need to bring value for the seniors of Orange County. So we do have some standing committee memberships to approve. We have two members to approve to the Health and Nutrition Committee. And one is and both of these people have attended at least one meeting. And one of them is a new member of SCAC, and that's Amina Sen Matthews. And then the other one is someone who is just joining the standing committee, but is not a member of SCAC. So, and that is Sue Langley. So is there a motion to approve Sue Langley and Amina Sen Matthews to the Health and Nutrition Standing Committee?
So moved.
So moved by Jean Hernandez, seconded. Is that a second, Elizabeth?
I'll second it.
Elizabeth, is your hand raised? Are you seconding? Or are you questioning? You're muted.
I'll second.
Okay, I'm still waiting to hear what Elizabeth's trying to say.
Second it.
Okay. Okay, so it's been moved by Jean Hernandez, seconded by Elizabeth Busick, to approve Sue Langley and Amina Sen Matthews to the Health and Nutrition Standing Committee. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Carries. The next one is a change in standing committees, and that is Carolyn Inman from Housing and Transportation to Legislation in the new alignment legislation. Falling under the umbrella of the legislative committee is the technology subcommittee. And Carolyn is very interested and has experience with that. So she thought that might be a good fit. So is there a motion to approve that change in membership?
I approve.
Moved by Elizabeth Busick, seconded by Cynthia Thacker. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Carries. Okay. The next one is, remember the standing committees were given the option if they wanted to change the name of their committee, because we're changing a little bit about of what their focus is as we align with the master plan on aging. So the Health and Nutrition Committee would like to change their name to the Well-Being Reimagined Standing Committee. I love that name. So any discussion on that item?
Awesome name.
Okay, is there a motion to approve?
I make the motion.
Okay, moved by Phil Mandeville to change the Health and Nutrition Standing Committee to the Well-Being Reimagined Standing Committee, seconded by Jean Hernandez. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Carries. Okay. The next item under new business, we are dark in June, but I'm proposing the question to the executive board whether or not we should have a June or an early July standing committee meeting. I'm not standing, executive board meeting, just because it seems like there's just a lot of moving parts right now, and it may be just a good time to check in. I know we will have a better handle, a better idea of what's going on with the reopening of the senior centers, because that's right after June 15th. Also to see how we may be supporting that. Cynthia.
I agree. I think it would be nice to just at least an hour just to reconnect and follow up with the reopening.
Okay. So I agree. Dave?
I totally agree. And I think with the June 15th change, you know, there's going to be a lot of things happening, and we don't want to wait until July for the exec meeting to start again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And the July executive meeting is after our July SCAC meeting. So it would be good. So today, let's see, when we meet on the fourth Thursday of the month. I mean, Tuesday. So in June, that would be June 22nd. Erica, is there any issue with staffing that meeting? Or we can tentatively set it in when Erica...
I'm just going to pull up my calendar right now while we're all looking. Let's see. June 22nd. That looks okay. Yeah, and even if Jenna's not available, I can staff it.
Okay.
Can we look at the June 25th?
I'm not here on the 25th.
Oh. That's a Friday.
How about the 24th?
Thursday. Well, we try to keep the meeting the same day of the month. Just
I know. I'm not available.
You're telling us you're going to be on vacation.
I'm not available. Well, I can't even do a Zoom because I'm going to Zoom into on another meeting. That's part of the problem. Hold on.
Is June 22nd okay for everybody else?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, not for me. I'll be on vacation.
Oh, are you in Hawaii then?
No, I'm at June Lake fishing.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right.
My hero.
Yeah.
Okay, and I see a yellow box going around John Pointer, so I don't know if he wants to say something. No. Okay. Well, pencil
no,
in
no, I'm June. Okay.
John's okay, good. Pencil in June 22nd. If that should change, we will let you know. I know as we, you know, try to find a date in a month when we normally don't meet because it's vacation time, it can be difficult. But you know, if we keep it consistent, at least, and it'll be a week after June 15th. So we'll have a better idea of what's going on. If we need to meet before then, if, as you're working with the consultant on the reopening of the senior centers, and there's something that we need to do before then, before the June 15th date, let us know, because we, you know, being we're meeting via Zoom, it's easy for us to get the meeting together. Okay. All right. So any questions on that? Should we move on? Okay, on to old business. So the priorities for Orange County seniors that was presented at the May 11th Board of Supervisors meeting, Supervisor Bartlett did highlight it. And speak to the other supervisors regarding it. She pointed it out at the meeting and looks forward to working on with them on implementing the priorities that we've established. So we are requesting meetings with the other supervisors to, you know, to see how it's going to be implemented and maybe give them a prompt that, you know, we do have some expectation that this report be reviewed and these priorities be addressed, because these are the needs of Orange County seniors right now. On the Senior Center survey, so you are all aware of the Senior Center survey, the process for that was to have the SCAC Senior Center liaisons contact the senior centers that they liaise to and get information. This was not an audit. This was basically querying to see how we can assist. When we started this, didn't know that the county would be signing an agreement with an outside consultant, which is wonderful because that came during the process. And that is something that this is a information that Eric can take to them. So one thing, and I know I talked at the SCAC meeting about it, it was a bit disappointing that a number of SCAC members did not reach out to their senior centers. When we had that second push, we did get a few more back in. There was a little confusion because someone else had sent out the senior center survey under their organization's email and request, which then had some of the surveys diverted, which it took a long time to figuring out who this person was. But anyways, we got them in. I had an intern who is a college student at Claremont McKenna, who then, and she's majoring in psychology, took all of this information together to produce what you've seen. She kind of, because the information was all over the place, really, because every senior center is doing it a little bit differently. They're functioning a little bit differently now, and their reopening plans are different. And that's because, you know, the senior centers are operated by the cities. They're not operated by the county. So there's not one overall organization. So you were provided with the results. Erica will be giving those results to the consultant that her office will be working with on developing plans for the reopening of the senior centers and providing them with the tools that they need. Our concern was when seniors start coming back to the senior center, what about the ones who may have had a significant cognitive decline? What about the ones who are experiencing anxiety when they re-engage socially? Anyone, you know, any that had maybe some PTSD from being isolated so long. So, and realizing that senior center staffs, depending on the staff level, may not recognize all these signs. So what is a tool for them that's when someone walks in the door, what do they ask? What kind of conversation do they engage in to know, maybe I should refer this person now to someone else who is a professional in a certain capacity. So that's what we're looking for. That's what some of the tools that will be the result of this. The survey was also an opportunity for the SCAC liaisons to engage in a conversation with the senior center directors. That's why it was specifically said, you don't email this to them and have them fill it out. You have a conversation with them because you need to establish or reestablish that relationship with those senior center directors. So Elaine, Cynthia.
I just wanted to comment too. In respect, it was, you know, it's kind of an eye opening on some cities. I can see people trying to reach out. There was just no one to reach out to, you know, like Costa Mesa stuff. They just did, I don't know what they did, but they come, it was like they shut the door and that was it. So it was hard to, in some places to connect. So in respect, I just wanted to.
Yeah, well, but also those senior center liaisons told us that.
Yeah.
And, so we had some who did not do anything.
Right. But also it was in a thing is that we also, I have some changes, which I'll report later, but there were some few changes. So that was really good that we were able to reach out to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Out. And I think when we look at the results, it's a little eye-opening just to see the differences. You know, one city is going to open all the doors June 15th, no phasing in. And then others are still not sure how they're going to phase in. So I think those are the centers that will really benefit from the work of Erica and her team, that the work product that comes after this survey. So I don't know if Erica had anything she wanted to add to that.
I just appreciate the effort and I totally understand that some of these centers were difficult to get a hold of. And I think that that was sort of the reason why Elaine gave the instructions the way that she did, is to see if we could make contact to really understand what was going on at the senior centers. Is anybody even answering the phones type thing? But I think that we have some good aggregate results. It looks like about half of the senior centers that were potentially could have responded. And then from there, we have some good data on those 29 centers. So, you know, it's a real mixed bag. It's all over the place. There are centers that reported that they don't really have a set date or a plan on when they're going to reopen. Others have said, yes, by this date, we expect to be reopened. Many of them reported that they anticipate challenges with the seniors in terms of their social isolation impacts to their mental and physical health. They said that they just have very preliminary or basic training on how staff identifies the signs and symptoms of mental health issues. So definitely some opportunity to improve there. And that, you know, if they're provided with tools and resources to be able to make those determinations, that they will definitely appreciate them and use them. Many of the centers reported that they will be offering some level of virtual programming even after they've quote unquote reopened. And so we want to make sure that we're providing support to those that are building out those activity calendars on how to advertise what's available in person versus what's virtual and some of those hybrid offerings. So I think we've got some really succinct data that we can work with and share with our consultant as they build those reopening resource toolkits and develop those assessment tools. But like I said, there's going to have to be just some basic policies and protocols in terms of how to handle a COVID positive situation. We anticipate that older adults don't like to be told what to do all the time. And if they're asked to, you know, walk this way or wear a mask or what have you, we don't want to put the staff or the volunteers in a situation where they have an altercation or that they have to really enforce something and, you know, create a hostile environment. So we want to avoid all that and make sure. Yes, Cynthia?
I didn't mean, I just wanted
yeah, to. That's, I have a comment after Erica, then Dave, then Cynthia.
So do I go first or?
No, let Erica finish.
I was just saying, we want to make sure that the staff and the volunteers feel safe and equipped to be able to interact with the seniors, you know, day to day.
Thank you, Eric. Okay, Dave had his hand up for a while.
Yeah, my question is, can we share this information, the survey, with the individual senior center director that we request this information from? And can we indicate what kind of follow-up there will be from Erica's office? Because they are aware of the survey. I know Elizabeth contacted our senior director, got a quick result on that. And I'm sure I'm going to be meeting with her forthcoming. And I would like to share the results of this, but I would also like to footnote that this is just the beginning. Is the Office on Aging going to work with a consultant to follow through on this? What kind of parameters do we have proceeding forward as individuals?
Elaine and I have talked about this briefly, and I think it's fine to share the aggregate results. We definitely don't want to share the results of the individual senior centers with other centers. We wanted them to feel safe and comfortable responding in a confidential way, but the analysis that provides just the aggregate results doesn't call out any specific city or senior center. So I think that would be safe to share publicly.
So let them know, and I don't know, Erica, if you have a timeline or of when the results or when the tools are going to be available, when the consultant is going to be able to provide that.
Well, I'll have a better idea after today. We have our initial meeting with them right after this. And you know, it's our number one priority. We have them working on two projects. One will be the reopening resource toolkit, and the other is a campaign for social engagement and community awareness, because we know that there's going to be a lot of seniors that are still fearful about re-engaging. So we want to make sure that we put out and promote a lot of healthy, positive messages about re-engaging and getting out and not being isolated. So those are the two pressing projects.
Okay.
So the two-page report that you emailed us this morning, we can share that with the individual senior center director in our own district, and just say that you can expect a lot more from this from the Office on Aging in the near future.
I think that would be a nice personal touch, because if you're the ones that ask them to complete the survey, to just follow back up with them and say, thank you for your participation after compiling all of the survey responses. Here's just a general report on the results, and the Office on Aging will be developing a resource toolkit that will help address some of these concerns. The other approach is that there is a senior center director meeting. I don't know how often they meet, and I haven't attended them. Our office hasn't attended them regularly. We've been invited from time to time to present, but we're not an ongoing attendee. But I am going to inquire if we can be invited to those meetings to just listen in. And I can certainly present this, you know, to all of them at the same time, if you think that's more efficient.
I think that's a good approach. Then they all hear the same information at the same time. And then also we don't need to, you know, what about those senior centers that don't have a liaison as active as Dave and Elizabeth reaching out to them, to be sure that they get the information too, so they don't feel like they've been left out or so I think that would be a good approach. And that's not to say Dave can't have that conversation with his senior center director, but I think if you were to present it to all of them at the same time, that would be good.
Okay. So,
and also, Cynthia?
Can I just get my question in real quick? I'm sorry. I want to know, when you keep saying resources, one of my biggest response with all of the different ones that I contacted, a lot more than just my own, is that they kind of were looking for a go-to list. So when you say a resource kit, I hope that's what you mean, is like a go-to kit. So if they find somebody that's needs help in a certain area of depression or thing, that's a go-to list, right?
Yeah, it'll be, if you can just picture like a virtual toolbox, you know, so you'll go to one place, one-stop shop, and you'll have separate links to all the different tools that are part of that resource toolkit.
That was my biggest response from everybody. So thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you. And before we close on this topic, I just want to be sure to thank everyone who participated. Thank you to those of you who did reach out to your senior centers, and a special thank you to, there were a few members who did more than their own senior center. So I'd like to thank Sandy Stang for, you know, when she was asked, she took on an additional center. Cynthia Thacker reached out to a lot of them and repeated reaching out to the SCAC members as well. So thank you. And also, we have a brand new SCAC member who, when she heard we didn't have any responses from Santa Ana, which I felt concerning because that's a large city and has four senior centers, a brand new SCAC member, Amina Sen Matthews, took it upon herself to reach out to those senior center directors, made contact, brought us some information. And so she went above and beyond. So I really appreciate the assistance she gave us with that. So thank you, and we will move on. Chair comments. I think I've said enough. I don't know. But really, I do ask you though to be looking in your community or communities throughout Orange County for potential SCAC members.
So, and I'll be happy to talk to them, but we do want to be sure to fill those vacant seats with someone who's not going to just sit in a seat, but someone who's going to actively work for seniors. I always say I'd rather have an empty seat than someone sitting there who doesn't do anything. But I'm sure with a county our size, we can find others, either seniors or you don't have to be a senior, but working in that arena. So please, you know, feel free to put me in contact with them and I will let them know what's involved. So, and remember the November SCAC meeting will be in person here in Laguna Niguel. And that's all I have to say right now. Jean, you're on with standing committee reports. And you're muted.
Yep, I am muted. Thank you. Standing reports, we've been going about, or I've been attending each of the committees and getting the word out about now's the time if you want to change your name, now's the time if you want to change your committees, and most importantly, reiterating what the mission of the commissions are. And that's been a very eye-opener. Even though we talk about, we do orientations. In fact, Elaine and I met with one of the chairs of the committees to do a one-on-one and get really make sure it was thoroughly understood. Seemed to be a lot of confusion and among the committee members. So it just told me that we need to keep reiterating this point that we exist as an outreach of the supervisors. And our job is to gather issues, facts, and that are relevant for seniors and make sure that the supervisors have that information in their pocket so they can act on it as they would. There are other groups that do other things outside of us. And if that's your intent, then that's probably one of the groups you want to be associated with also, or instead of that's your option. So I think for the most part it's well received. There's still one committee had a little bit of confusion with it and didn't understand. And I think when we were all done, I think they did. They may not have necessarily liked it, but I think they understood. Elaine, anything you want to add to that? I know you've attended a couple of those too.
Yeah, no, and basically is just reiterating that the purpose of the standing committees is that's where the work of SCAC is done. It's in the standing committees then to bring those issues to the main SCAC, usually during our annual workshop, but it can be if there's a very timely issue, it can be before then. But it's the purpose of the standing committees is not to be putting on programs for the general public to attend and listen. The speakers at the standing committees should be speakers that will help that standing committee do its work. So it is, the standing committee is not to attract an audience. It is to do the work of SCAC. That's where it is done in the standing committees. Also, any information, any flyers, any invitation, anything that goes out has to go through the Office on Aging. There are legal requirements that they need to make sure that are on the flyers or invitations or anything like that. And we did have a standing committee that was creating their own invitations and sending them out. And unfortunately, we serve the Board of Supervisors and we are under the guidelines of the county. And so anything that is sent out needs to go through the Office on Aging because they have a certain protocol they have to follow. So please be mindful.
Yeah, actually that committee also wanted to have their own logo. And so we had to say, no, no, no. And I think that's when it became clear, okay, here's the disconnect. Because they thought, well, what a good thing. We'll educate all the seniors out there. I said, well, that's half of it. The other half is to take the senior issues back and share that with the supervisor. That's our real function. It, not necessarily to educate, but we're out there gathering what are the issues that seniors have and not being met by our county government. That's the real issue. And I'm not sure where we lost that message somewhere along the line, but we certainly need to
keep. I think we just had some new members who were very enthusiastic, and I love their enthusiasm, but we just need to make sure that it's directed in the right way. So Phil Mandeville may be getting a call because they were telling us about these fantastic speakers they had. And I said, well, then you should be sharing that with Phil because he's the one who does the presentation for SCAC. So remember, the standing committees are not mini SCACs. They do the work that we all bring together. So Phil, you may be getting some assistance with your programs.
Yeah, well, actually we've had some really good programs at these committees. And the next question should be then, okay, now let's refer these to the SCAC General so everybody benefits by this. Mm-hmm. And I think that message came across now. And I think you're right, Elaine, we had a lot of newer members who they were really fired up, and that's a good thing, zealots actually. And they wanted to go out in the community and you know, save the seniors. Okay, well, that's great, but that's not this group's mission. That's some other group's mission, that's not ours.
Yeah. And also the standing committees, it's okay to not have a speaker. There's gonna be meetings where you need to do some work and you need to have conversations and a discussion and set priorities. And I do recommend that all the standing committees, they take a look at the master plan on aging, read their specific areas for the goals, and you're not going to address all of the initiatives under each goal, but each, if you pick maybe 3 to 5, that's plenty of work for the year.
That had to be clarified first, because some of them were overwhelmed when they saw all of that, or they felt just the opposite. Why are we being so confined? Not being confined, just the opposite. Now you've got this whole world, it just expanded it, and focus where you can. If you can't get it all done, don't worry. In fact, you're not going to get it all done. Don't worry about it. And I think that message finally got out, which is why mm-hmm. you're seeing the name changes now. Because initially, well, we want to keep our name. Okay, but just understand, you've taken one little slice out of the whole arena you can deal with. And why do you want to limit people that way? Once they kind of grasp that, then it moved quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anything else?
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good meeting.
No, thank you. Yeah, it was. All the meetings have been good. Evelyn had a tough chore with her group because they had a tough time. The legislation is like they have a real niche that they want to follow. And I think they're more aligned with John Pointer's group, you know, to go up and advocate. So we kind of made that distinction, made it clear. And I think that ultimately got there, but it was tough that, okay, why are we moving away from legislation? We're not moving away from it. We're just saying now legislation impacts all of these committees. Mm-hmm. And we're broadening that. So, yeah. Is that accurate, Evelyn? I know you guys had a tough time with that one.
Well, Elaine knows that I've had a tough time trying to get my hands around what our product should be. I understand and I'm fine with being a working committee, but exactly what that work is has been very difficult for me under legislation. I'm getting a little clearer now with the MPA and with those goals. But I think the major focus of what we're going to be doing is really what Dave is doing with his ad hoc committee. And so, you know, we don't want to be regurgitating Dave's work. So I want to talk to the two of you more about what you expect from us and what you want us to, you know, to give you in the way of product. I'm still a little unclear about it, but I am going to set up a meeting for June. I'm going to send out an invite to see when people are available so that we can at least begin with the renaming of our committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Elaine, maybe Elizabeth or Evelyn will be our next luncheon meeting.
Okay.
No, that was real helpful, I think, Evelyn. It really, yeah. You're not alone in how you're thinking. So I think this helped to clarify in a relaxed setting.
Yeah, and okay. I think, and also reflect back on what Larry Kramer said during the meeting, because I thought that was very helpful, and he understood it, having been past chair of the legislative committee, that it is frustrating and that you do this work, but that it really stays in the room. It doesn't go anywhere. And yeah. CSL serves a very important function, but we're not CSL. That's a different organization, even though there is some commonality with members. There's crossover there. And they provide us with great information. But
it's absolutely critical that Evelyn's on board and understands the mission clearly so she can advocate with her committee. Because if it's not clear there, then it won't be clear with the committee.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a great idea. I would love to have a meeting with the two of you and maybe even with David.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, we'll after this meeting, I'll send out an email. And we'll get something on the calendar.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And that's it for me.
Okay. Okay, now we are on to item number 8. Dave, Technology Ad Hoc Committee. I gave you your own agenda item since I know you just had a meeting.
Yes, we just had a meeting. We have a excellent group of volunteers serving on the committee. We have Tony Olivetto, Crystal Miles, Meredith Michilini.
Chalemi.
I got to learn that one. And Carolyn Inman. And we had our first meeting, and what we're finding out is there's a lot of legislation or a lot of funding that's coming forward, as Erica talked about, and with the Recovery Act, with the governor's budget, there's a third party, like the communications network, that is offering funding for access to broadband access. So there's a lot of things happening there. But I think what we're failing to realize that even with access, there's gonna be a capability of being able to purchase the equipment and being able to use the equipment and education. So we're gonna be concentrating on the digital divide. And we've got a quick timeline because we want to make some recommendations to the Board of Supervisors by September. And so we are meeting on, at this time, on a weekly basis. And we'll have, we had each member with some challenges to follow up with on the meeting on Friday. And if there's anybody that's interested in joining in, please let me know, and I'll send you the information and the link to the meetings. But excellent committee, and we're looking forward to the challenges of being able to eliminate digital divide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought what was really good about that meeting is that each member of the committee had an assignment and information to bring back to the Friday meeting. So, because there is a sense of urgency with this one-time funding coming through. So. Okay, thank you, Dave. Presentation schedule, Phil, anything to fill us in on?
Oh, I'm glad that you asked. Everybody quit. So I was wondering what you're doing for the next few months, Elaine. Anyway, I'm just playing, of course. I have more questions than I have answers. Do I make arrangements at senior citizens or senior centers when we go back to person to person, or how does that work? I know somebody said to me one time, well, you're only doing half the work now, Phil. So
yeah, that's how it works, Phil. That's what I did. You have to go back and line up all those centers and days that they're available, and then you have the programs plugged into them also. And not just the programs, then you got to do the meters, the greeters, and all that stuff.
No wonder no one wanted this job.
No, it was unbelievable you took it. I really appreciate that, Phil. That was out of ignorance, but now we're
educating. You know, it's coming back to you, Gene, you know. Okay.
Well, you know, the November meeting, which will be the first one where we're going to be meeting in person, that I've already reserved. So you don't need to do that. You just need to do the greeter and the.
And that's the first one.
Yeah. And then we're dark in December. So then we start in January. And
look at that. You're already skating, Phil. Jeez.
Yeah. I wasn't born with skis on just because I walk slow.
You were born at night, but you weren't born last night. Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, now, a bigger question for me, when I invite the speakers for January, February, or for next year, do they come to the meeting? Oh, they do. So it can't be Zoom. Oh, dear me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they come to the meeting, and then you also beforehand need to find out if they're going to need a screen, a projector, all that kind of stuff to make sure that they have it at the senior center.
Yeah.
And the big one, Phil, before Elaine jumps in, is make sure they're not selling anything. We don't want groups to come in and they're selling insurance or something, you know, equipment.
Now, I know Erica has help. Do I have any help?
if you're having trouble contacting or connecting with the senior center, they can provide that information.
Okay.
Yeah. What I did, Phil, I had the speaker's contact. Well, it was either Jenna or Chris at the time, but or Marissa, but now Erica, just so they can, if they need a PowerPoint put up, that Erica's crew can help them with that to make sure that, okay, we got it. You know, we'll get you up there and you're all good to go.
Okay. What do I do if the FBI, Fred Simon, doesn't want to be recorded?
Well,
if I was the FBI, I wouldn't want to be recorded either.
It's a public meeting.
So we have to record it. So I find somebody else or he agrees.
Oh, go with him. What's he going to say? It's all public information, or theoretically. He's not going to share any secrets. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I watch a lot of movies, Agent 9 and all that. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. They're not near as efficient as all those movies are, trust me.
Okay. How often do we meet on the Grand Avenue facility?
We only meet there for the standing committees. For the monthly meeting, you're going to alternate between North, South, and Central County.
Oh, okay.
So they're each month it's, you know, people. It isn't the same people always driving the distance.
Okay.
Phil, that's why you're contacting those senior centers, because that's where you're going to have the meeting at.
Okay. And got to make sure they have enough room for
40. Yeah, they're used to this. This is not their first rodeo. Before the pandemic, they all knew exactly what was involved.
Yeah. So they need to have a table that'll seat 40, room big enough to do that, and then figure for enough room for maybe 20 guests.
Oh, okay. All right. I got it.
And a lot of them provided the refreshments.
In
some cases we did, but most of them provided the refreshments. They were kind of showing off their senior center.
So you're telling me I have a budget?
No, we don't have a budget.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Actually,
I went in the hole on this.
Yeah. No, actually, that's through the Office on Aging. But if the senior center, some of them like to do it, it's part of their hospitality. But, you know, we do that, but that's something that needs to be figured out beforehand.
Most of them did too, by the way.
Okay, that's really nice. My last question: did you have a chance to create a certificate for our speakers?
I kind of made up my own and winged it, but I don't know if Erica has a form.
Yeah, I thought we talked about that at our last meeting, Phil. I thought you were going to work with. Was it Jenna or Erica to get a template or develop one?
I didn't even
great know. Idea though, Phil.
Okay, so I must have missed out on that. I'll get a hold of Erica.
Okay, or Erica, who would you like Phil to get to contact on that? We don't want to keep filling your plate.
Jenna would be able to help with that.
Okay.
Yeah,
they should have something in their files. So, Phil, if you send an email to Jenna, she'll help you with that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it for me today.
Okay. Thank you. Dave.
Yeah. Hasn't the ambassadors helped out in contacting the senior center directors, finding out if they would be willing to host the meeting? Because I know we do for Mission Viejo, we normally had the month of May set aside where we would meet at Mission Viejo. And so the ambassadors may be able to help fill out too in contacting the director, seeing if they're open on such and such a date. I think the schedule that we had on a year-to-year basis didn't vary that much.
That would be nice.
From one senior center taking January to another one taking February and so forth. Now, I realize with COVID, that adds an additional challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once the senior centers are open, many are used to the time of year that they would be able to host.
Yeah, some of the senior centers, the larger ones, did have a specific time, but there aren't enough months in the year to hit all the senior centers. Right. So there, and then also something else that may figure in a little bit differently is, as Erica has said, that the meal programs have increased. So I know one issue with the senior centers hosting our meeting is sometimes there's a conflict with the room as where they're serving their congregate meals. Oh. So we do need to see, you know, and talk to them about that to see if that's an issue and whether or not they have room for us now. The other issue is parking. And I know some senior centers we have not met at because parking was an issue. So those are all things. And Phil, we can talk about this offline also.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. But thank you for bringing that up, Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on presentation or scheduling meetings? Okay. Next on to senior center liaison, Cynthia.
I just have a simple request. As we did the survey, of course, because of the closures, they had to restaffing. And so there's some different new contact information, and I didn't get to talk to all of them. So if you talk to them and found a different contact, I'd like to update the list. And so if you could send me any changes that you found, I would appreciate that. And then also I think Elaine might be time to add a new different liaison. So I'd like to work on that by the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I know we need to, there's three new members who we need to assign. We don't want to keep changing the list though. And if all of you are going to go out and recruit, like I've asked you to, then we might have some others.
I'm just starting to gather the information. And so I'm not going to resend it out prematurely, but I thought I know of a couple contacts that have changed. And I thought, I mean, it's important that, and I can send those out individually, but I just thought this was a great time to start the work on update.
Okay, all righty. Actually, what I'll do is I'll send an email to all of SCAC and let them know if their contact has changed to send you an email.
I appreciate that. Let's just work on getting it. I mean, that has to be tomorrow and then.
But I'm still trying to figure out when do we update the liaisons? Because we do have three new members. We were also trying to let them get their feet wet with SCAC to know what we do before they start liaising.
Yeah. What I was thinking is if at least we get kind of in what my mind assigned, that doesn't mean that they have to do it and I can work with them, but at least kind of start to work the list so I can kind of maneuver around, you know, so.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Elaine, real quick, another one for Phil. Phil, make sure you jump on that quick because those centers fill up unbelievably fast for the year. So you got to jump on that right now.
The problem with that, Gene, is a lot of the centers are not open. The ones that are open have youth programs that I've discovered. And so they've just rolled the seniors in with all of that.
Okay.
But as soon as you can, whenever it's possible.
As Dave suggested, look on the list of senior center liaisons and reach out to that SCAC member. They should know who to contact. Else fails, call City Hall.
Yes, I was just going
to
say.
Because there's got to be, City Hall has to know who the contact for the senior center director is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And in some cases, there are none. There are no senior center directors at this time.
But that's going to change. I mean, we're talking.
Well, of course, it's going to change. Yeah.
Elizabeth.
I'd like to tell Phil you can get hold of Melanie McCrane in Mission Viejo for May. Says, as Dave pointed out, we have been the May meeting site, and Melanie McCrane, they're open, and I would jump on her okay. now.
Email, Elizabeth, if you could please email Phil that contact info.
I will.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Okay, now we are on to members in good standing. Elizabeth.
Okay, there are six people who have not turned in any hours. Okay, so yesterday I emailed them again, and three of them responded and said, okay, it's coming. All right, got it, thank you. So the other three I haven't heard back from. So that has to do with hours. As far as attendance goes, housing and transportation, there's one person, an Asian person, who has, out of the five meetings, has only attended two. So, and then there's another person. I don't know when John Ulrich started, but the last—
He should have been taken off a long time ago.
Oh, just take him off, okay.
Yeah, take him off.
All right.
And as far as housing and transportation, that person is not a member of SCAC, though. It's just the standing committee. And I believe that was Scott. And Sandy did reach out to him, and that was much appreciated, reaching out to him. So, you know, it's just been a challenge for him with the Zoom meetings.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're understanding of that. And again, if they're not a member of SCAC itself, there really isn't.
It's not a big deal then.
It's not a big deal because, you know, again, it's the Board of Supervisors' requirement that the SCAC members be on the standing committee. So again, I think, you know, we should demonstrate some grace during times of COVID if someone's having challenges attending the Zoom meetings.
Uh-huh.
So, and I appreciate Sandy reaching out to him. And it also lets him know that we've noticed and we care too. Want to make sure all is okay with you.
Yeah.
Well, and Gene, I mean, Lane, he has, you know, a disability. He's blind. Yeah. He also now has been appointed to the transportation thing. So he will be a great asset. A lot of his was that some conflicting and Zoom is harder for him. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else, Elizabeth? Anything else we need to, the board needs to address?
As far as attendance at general SCAC meetings, that's quite good. Now, getting back to housing and transportation, Jennifer Wang, we want to keep her. She's Asian, but she has been absent to three of the five meetings. And I know she has a problem with attending meetings in the past. But since she's only a committee member and not a SCAC member, we'd say just let it go.
I would say at this point, yeah, when things get back to normal, since she's not a SCAC member, but I also think, isn't she an employee of one of the senior service organizations? Yes,
she certainly is. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think maybe if we could ask Sandy just to reach out to her and let her know that her input is valued and would appreciate her attending the meetings.
Uh-huh.
So I see Sandy is on the call. Hopefully Sandy heard that and we'll be able to do that.
Yes, I heard you, and I will reach out to her. Sometimes she just comes very late, like Elizabeth. True. She has True. A conflict. But she,
okay. All right. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, anything else, Elizabeth?
No, I think that does
okay,
it.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, we are down to item number 12, announcements. So, any announcements from SCAC members? Elizabeth, your hand is up.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, your hand is down. And announcements from any other SCAC members? Okay.
Just so you know, some cities are doing kind of like a soft re-engagement to senior activities. And I know in Laguna Niguel, the senior center has been closed. And also part of that is while during COVID, we've been taking advantage of the closure and doing some construction inside. But we are having some activities at our community center. And it's just one of them is an ice cream social for seniors on June 17th. And then on the 24th, a movie afternoon. So just some slow re-engagement, you know, with all the protocols that need to be followed. But, you know, that's something, if nothing is happening in a city that you're aware of, that may be something that they may want to do, again, to start bringing seniors out from that social isolation. So our next meeting is July 27th, but we will be having a meeting before that. What did we say? June 22nd. Mm-hmm. So please put those on your calendar. The June 22nd meeting will just be to touch base with what's going on with the reopening and if there's anything that we need to address. So anything, this is your last chance before I adjourn. Okay, well, thank you everybody for attending today, for your work for Orange County Senior Citizens, and just for being part of the executive board. I enjoy working with all of you. So thank you. And this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Bye.